Hi, everybody, and welcome to our continuation of Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle. This is the 24th of November. We have entered Sagittarius now, and we're working from page 85. And we learned in the last discussion that indeed the sudden response of groups and nations to mass ideologies has been both unexpected and difficult to handle wisely and constructively. It was not anticipated by either Shambhala or Hierarchy that mass impression would develop more quickly than that of individual sensitivity. And that's, I think, the main point in this little segue. But it has happened. The individual within the group, says the Tibetan, and working within a group, is far more correctly sensitive than is the man struggling alone to render himself sensitive to impression. Now, this is going to be a short program because, unexpectedly, I have to offer a different program in not too long a time. So let's just do a little bit anyway, see what we can do. One of the factors, says the Tibetan as we begin program 33, militating against personal telepathic development lies in the fact that a strong, potent, and modern ascension of the spirit of man as a whole frequently offsets personality reactions, and telepathy is a personality matter depending upon contact between mind and mind. So, looks here like we have a ascension of the spirit in man, and personality reactions are being offset. And telepathy is a personality matter dealing with mind-to-mind kind of interaction. The moment, however, that man tries to be telepathic, he is immediately swept into a vortex of abstract energies, says the Tibetan, which condition him for spiritual impression far more than they fit him for personality relationships telepathically established. Now, that is, let's just say it was a surprise to the Hierarchy, and it certainly can be registered as something unusual when we are thinking about it. If a man tries to be telepathic and the spirit is rising, the modern ascension of the spirit in man he is swept into a vortex of abstract energies, which conditioned him for spiritual impression far more than for personality, personal relationships, telepathically established. So the spirit in man is having an offsetting effect of the usual kind of telepathy, which is operating from person to person in a mental telepathic sense. Okay, going on just a little bit. So it was a surprising development to hierarchy, and well, we who know so little about it, certainly a surprising development to us, because it generally seems as if the an action working in a smaller scope would occur more readily, faster, more easily, but such is not the case, and that's why the hierarchy of adepts has to be truly adaptable. Adaptable. Because unexpected developments do occur, and they have to be ready to respond in a plan-oriented manner, and in a loving and unifying manner. So this surprising development, says the Tibetan, freed the supervising masters from some of their plans and led them to abandon the training of individual disciples in telepathic rapport. Okay. And to recognize the opportunity to train and to develop invocative groups. So this was a boon to that which the masters had intended, and it elevated their work rather suddenly. So instead, DK goes on here, instead of working in lower mental substance with picked aspirants, chosen aspirants, right? Picked aspirants, they changed the medium of contact to that of the soul and launched the relatively new science of invocation and evocation. And I suppose the giving out of the great invocation was, and in all three of what we might call stanzas, was part of this readjustment on the part of the masters. It's not just obstacles that occur. Sometimes something beneficent, indicating the more rapid progress of humanity, begins to occur. In any case, whether the matter deals with an obstacle or with some unexpected beneficence or elevation, the hierarchy of adepts has to adapt. Okay, so going on with the Tibetan, the lower mind then became simply an interpreter of impressions, with the emphasis upon the group mind, group purpose, and group will. This developing system of trained invocatives, that's an interesting use, sort of a verbal noun, made the mind a positive acting factor and tuned out all tendency to negativity. So it was, in the technical sense, a disillusioning factor. So it was a surprising development. And DK is sharing this bit of hierarchical, hierarchical events, which otherwise, how would we know anything about? We would not. So there was then a development that the lower mind became simply an interpreter of impressions, with the emphasis upon something they are always advancing: group mind, group purpose, and group will. Trained in vocatives. It's an interesting turn of phrase. Where does this word come in? One can be adjectivally invocative, but to become the noun associated with the adjective, or the noun associated with the verb, invoke. That's unusual. But DK is stretching language to the point where, though never satisfactory, it does at least come closer to allowing him to convey what he feels he must, and for which no adequate language is existing. And I suppose, especially in the English language, I don't know what would be the case in Sanskrit. So the attention is taken away from the individual mind, fastened upon the group mind, the group purpose, and group will, and people are being trained in group form to become trained invocatives, and the mind, it becomes a much more reliable instrument, and becomes a positive factor. The mind becomes a positive factor which tunes out all negativity, and we know we are beset by negativity, because we are still so subject to glamour. And if not then glamour, the next phase of the planetary miasma, which would be illusion. But here, when it becomes possible to take advantage of the upward sweeping energy of the spirit, then less of the negativity can come through. He's swept into a vortex of abstract energies which condition him for spiritual impression far more than for personal relationships telepathically established. So a rapid advance was made possible. One never knows when humanity will indeed advance. One does not know that. And sometimes advances can be sudden. I'm trying to think about the preparation of the preparations of the fifth ray ashram in relation to atomic energy. Now, as far as seems to be indicated elsewhere in the books, the release of atomic energy was planned for the age of Capricorn some more than 2,000 years ahead. But humanity discovered the necessary secrets, especially through its fifth ray ashram, and as a result, hierarchy again had to adapt. Hierarchy had been surprised by the ability of humanity to penetrate into at least some of the mysteries of atomic energy. So we can see that being a member of the hierarchy is a very active chore, requiring great attentiveness, because we cannot always assume, or at least they cannot, the masters, that it will be business as usual and exactly as they anticipated it happening. We cannot assume that. Right. Okay, so that is a little bit about surprising developments. So the hierarchical decision then to de-emphasize, we might say, the work with the personality of individuals along a mental telepathic line, this had certain consequences. The hierarchical decision, says the Tibetan, this hierarchical decision then necessarily led to the instituting of the processes of group initiation. So it really had a strong effect. Thus, shifting the area of training and the whole of the teaching process and of preparation for initiation onto higher levels. Okay. Now that is something that has had tremendous implications, and you know how much DK these days emphasizes group group initiation. So let's see why that might be the case. It's tied in with what humanity discovered on its own as it moved ahead, surprisingly. So, you know, if you're an example here, if you're a parent and you expect your child to progress in a certain matter, and suddenly the child emphasizes things and shows aptitude and ability and accomplishment which you did not expect, then what do you do? Well, you adapt to the circumstances. That's what you do. And new circumstances came into the picture. So, one of the results here, it looks like, was very important. The experiment of giving mankind the great invocation was tried and is proving successful, may I add, you know, through the triangle's work and through its spreading in many languages as a kind of world prayer. And DK goes on here, though much yet remains to be done. So, this is all part of the group emphasis. And you know, when you read DK these days, regardless of what happened at this earlier time, you certainly see an emphasis upon the group work as far more important than far more important than the strictly individual work. Much yet remains to be done. Okay. We can gather that to be the case. Now, let's go on a little bit. Well, you know, let me just add, we're into a whole new phase of discipleship training simply because humanity demonstrated an aptitude for group responsiveness to impression, which hierarchy had not anticipated. And this had to do with the what you would call it, the movement of the spirit of man. The modern ascension of the spirit in man. This is the all these new methods concerning the new form of discipleship have to do with the modern ascension of the spirit in man and the greater emphasis on that spirit and soul, on purpose and plan than had been anticipated. Okay, now we go on. And DK is saying, now remember, friends, this is going to be a short program because, for many reasons, that's all I have time to do right now, as much as I would like to continue. It might be said, therefore, that the four requirements which are needed to aid the disciple to meet the demands of the initiatory process are, okay, the ability to be impressed, the capacity accurately to register the impression, the power to record what has been given, and then to give it word forms in the mind consciousness. Four requirements. And four requirements to meet the demands of the initiatory process. Now, of course, we have the opportunity to measure ourselves against the development of these requirements if we're going to engage in group initiation. You know, when I was inducted into the Masonic Lodge in 1974, a long time ago, it had been the custom of the lodge to take the new candidate alone through the first initiation, as it was called in Masonry at that time, the preparation for the entered apprentice initiation. But Masonry, well, was very popular at the time, and a new temple had been built, and people were coming in quite rapidly into that opportunity. And as a result, three of us went through at the same time. Now, I don't even, you know, I can't even remember who they were or anything like that. But the fact that there were three, and that we had to divide our response to the initiatory processes among three people was, in a way, indicative of the process of group initiation, which had become so important in the present time, and was important then. And it was the big hint. It was not a deprivation aimed against any one of the three who might have expected to have their, quote, their own initiatory ceremony it was the beginning of the sharing there in that particular Masonic lodge of an attitude which was highly correlated with the processes going on in hierarchy. So what we have here is four requirements: the ability to be impressed, the capacity accurately to register the impression, the power to record what has been given, and then to give it word forms. In within that group group contexts. So I want to make this actually quite big, because whenever you see DK offer requirements, you begin to want to really pay attention, because we know that all these requirements have to be fulfilled. So the requirements: the ability to be impressed, the capacity accurately to register the impression, the power to record what has been given, and then, you know, externalizing it, then to give it word forms. Okay. See, all of these different requirements and coming in under different kinds of names will begin to merge and blend together until the whole process begins to take on the form of an art rather than strictly being a science. With an art, you have mastered the knowledge already and then can experiment intuitively regarding the best way to receive it and present it to others. Okay, a little more. On the basis of the information received, the disciple must then properly invoke the needed energies and learn through experience to produce a responsive evocation. An impact has occurred, and all impacts of the right kind introduce the factor of interplay between the impacting and impacted energies. But as with learning any new bit of knowledge or of skill in action, it does take time to become really proficient. Now, DK is going to repeat, must be important, an earlier statement which occurred a few Okay. So we're going to repeat something of importance listed a few pages back. Namely this, and you'll recognize it probably if you have read or listened carefully. The entire human family is today an amazing receiver of impressions owing to the myriad types of susceptible mechanisms. So many different varieties of development, we might say, and of types, ray types, astrological types within the human family. It is because of this that the human kingdom, the great middle kingdom, whose function it is to mediate between the higher and the lower, is the subject of so much divine impression, conveying the purpose of Sanat Kumara. So, this is the repeated factor emphasizing the amazing receptivity of man in his various modes and degrees of development at this time. Now, what we have to see developed is that instead of being driven by external outside impressions, man is moved by his own soul consciousness. It's an internal movement based upon what the human being knows to be correct. Now DK goes on, in these present instructions, I am dealing with group possibilities, with groups which can be trained to record, register, and be impressed. So, and yes, this is what he wrote before. And the position of humanity and the tremendous responsibilities which the advancing human being necessarily adopts, this must be more fully impressed upon the advanced humanity of this period. With other types of humanity, we're not there yet. And as he said, the entry into the occult field will still be a long time in coming. We're still distant from that when we're dealing with the relatively undeveloped consciousnesses of some groups within humanity. So DK goes on to say, I just want to make sure I don't go too far. Okay. Certainly I could go further, but given the timing of everything that has to happen tonight, I think, I will indeed make this a quite short program. At least a little something will have been done. So DK again looks like he's repeating. In these present instructions, I am dealing with group possibilities, with groups that can be trained to record, register, and be impressed by hierarchy. So, if we have such a group, what about it? Such a group, as we've been trying to form, and has been under formation for almost 100 years, such a group can be in the position of being able to invoke the hierarchy with power if it so choose. And I am bringing these things to your attention as aspirants and disciples, but from an angle different . Okay. So, as I said earlier, DK is a master at providing different angles of vision upon the same or similar subjects so that we broaden and deepen our understanding of the subject. So, as he tells us, he's introducing the whole matter from a different angle of vision. And then this important statement, and he'll be telling us why it is so, and hopefully I'll be able to record that, maybe later tonight, we'll see. Yeah. The responsibility of impressionability, whether giving or receiving, of telepathic registration and of invocative appeal, all three supporting the great science of contact, the supreme contact, that responsibility is very great. Okay. Well, I can see that it would have been nice to continue a little longer, but I don't really dare to do that right now. We're talking about sources of impression next for the disciple. Sources of impression. And basically we've just worked on one page from 85 almost to the end of 86. Okay. And Thanksgiving is, I know, coming up in the United States, a festive time with a lot to remember. Now, you probably realize that the pilgrims who came over were a very doctrinaire group, and they didn't like Catholicism all that well, and they thought that they could advance their way of living in a new country. Now, of course, then began a saga of both cooperation with the Native Americans they found there, and also a tendency to take advantage of the native people and to move them back and back and back. This was, it's difficult to know, was this the intention of the Manu? Were the people that were found there part of the remnants of the center of old Atlantis, because the United States, surprisingly, was said to be the central portion of old Atlantis, and apparently survived some of the floods which completely overcame different land masses that were connected with Atlantis. Our next program will be number 34, and I'll just put that in a X's, because we don't know when it will really begin, and basically we have done just a little bit, page 86, from 85 to 86. But you know how it is, friends. I try to grab what opportunity I have, even though the time placement is not necessarily ideal for me or for what my intentions may be. But and that's what I've done here, just a little bit. And I would be very happy to be able to continue. Anyway, the story is one of surprise, adaptation, movement towards group process, and the giving out of three great stanzas of the Great Invocation, written down at different times. 1935, I think, 1940 and 1945, respectively, so that the group potentials upon which, or which the hierarchy had decided to emphasize, could be intelligently, willfully, and lovingly pursued. And we're right in the middle now of this change of method of cultivating the true group, that group which is to take group initiation and initiatory process, upon which emphasis had also been laid. Okay, my little meditative moments, punctuated by what Master Moria would call absentations, which occur much more frequently than we are used to admitting. So when we go on, we'll be talking about the source of impression and how many sources there may be, and perhaps how to distinguish one from another so we can determine whether or not we have actually engaged in that kind of process. All right, well, I have to run now. So I'll just say thank you for being here, and this was program whatever. program 33, and I will pick up where I left off, doing the best that I can. Okay, bye for now, and happy absorption. All the best to you from all of us.